We pray. Heavenly Father, God of all grace and glory, you who transcend the universe, you do miracles and wonders that are beyond our comprehension, and you bless us in ways that are beyond our imagination. And so we pray, come and dwell in us through the power of your holy word, that we might be your children and the temple to your Holy Spirit in Christ. Bless us, guide us, build us up all to your grace and glory. In Christ we pray. Amen. Do you like to eat raw oysters? After you slurp them into your mouth, are you supposed to chew them up or swallow them whole? The only place that I would ever eat raw oysters is heaven. Only there would I be sure not to gag, get sick, or die from them. Just think of what a creepy banquet we could set, huh? Appetizers of crickets and grasshoppers, salad of seaweed and kelp, platters and platters of fried liver, blood sausage, roasted tripe, barbecued canine, and boiled snake. Yum! People eat the most disgusting things. Hard to imagine how they get it past their nose. But would we eat raw oysters or boiled snake if that was the only way we could enter heaven? The crowd gathered around Jesus that day, I suspect, were confused, challenged, maybe even grossed out by Jesus' words, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Eat his flesh, drink his blood. What is Jesus saying about his relationship with us? Life or death? To gobble him up or to spit him out? Are you for or against the COVID vaccine? I've heard people tell me, oh, it's a lifesaver. We're all going to get past this pandemic if it would just be in us. Well, I've also heard people say, oh, I'm not putting that vaccine into my body. I don't trust what's in it. I don't trust what it's going to do to me. And I don't like how it was developed. I have not heard anyone say that the vaccine is about as powerful as sugar water. No, that doesn't seem to come up. The vaccine in the syringe will not do anything to my body. The vaccine in my arm, well, it will do what it does. What does Jesus say he will do if he gets inside of us, in our hearts and minds and souls? Well, he says, if anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. I will raise him up at the last day. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me. And I in him. The one who feeds on me will live because of me. Doesn't living forever with Jesus sound pretty good? And yet there is Satan. Satan and our sinful nature tempt us to choose death over life, to be thrown into hell rather than be raised up at the last day. To be locked away in hell with Satan forever rather than dwelling in Jesus and Jesus in us. Satan screams, spit him out, Jesus is rancid. Throw him up. Satan makes choosing death and hell seem like really the wise choice. A few weeks ago, I had a conversation with a man, we'll call him Sophisticated Sam, who quickly rattled off to me that he was working at a law firm. He had recently just gone through a divorce and lost a relative to cancer. With a jerk on the steering wheel of the conversation, his monologue suddenly took a sharp turn. And he started telling me about how he had raised his children, that 20 different people could have 20 different interpretations of the very same Bible verse, and that was okay. He reasoned that none of them would be wrong, just different. Strangely enough, does a law firm uphold 20 conflicting interpretations of a contract? Why didn't his marriage thrive with different interpretations as to what it means to be faithful and loving? Why didn't his dear relative just go and seek out a different doctor who would give that relative a cancer-free interpretation of the x-rays? A correct interpretation is vital in this world. But when it comes to God, well, anybody's opinion is just as good as the next person's opinion. Can you hear the sound of spitting? Can you hear the sound of Jesus being spat to the floor? Can you hear the sounds of the moans of death deep from within Sophisticated Sam? There are a million ways to spit Jesus out of your mouth, but only one way to eat him up and live. Jesus is spit out every day by non-Christian religions, preferring their imaginary gods to the one true living God of heaven and earth. You see, worshiping false gods is like feeding someone sawdust and motor oil who is starving to death. False gods are not real food that gives life, replenishes nutritions, or gives strength. The unbeliever is just as dead after eating up Buddha, Allah, and Scientology as he was before he ate them. But we, who claim to be Christians, and truly are Christians, might be tempted to let Jesus just kind of slip out of the corners of our mouth like drool, wanting never to swallow nor to spit. Or maybe we might be tempted to pick and sniff at this banquet of Jesus as though it were a meal of fried pig's feet or something. There is a common dysfunction in marriages I call the chalk circle. Husbands and wives who take a big piece of emotional chalk, drawing a circle around themselves, and then throwing out all kinds of praise and gifts and sex should their spouse wander away from that invisible chalk circle. But throwing at them all kinds of bitterness and criticisms and sourness should they attempt to cross over that chalk circle, to get inside of them and behind their walls. Ooh, that will not be allowed. The unspoken contract in those marriages is, oh, don't go away. I like what you can do for me. But don't get too close either, because I won't let you in. Are we ever tempted to treat Jesus that way? Chalking him off? Overflowing with praise and worship when we're unemployed or in a car accident, but while pushing Jesus away, his Bible study, his word, as an intrusion in our private lives. We like what Jesus can do for us. We want him in our lives, but not too close. Are we afraid of what Jesus might actually do to us if he gets inside? Why? Jesus might turn us into red-hot Bible-reading Christians. Ooh. Are we willing to let Jesus inside? Into our chalk circle? Jesus wants to go much farther than that. He wants us to actually live by eating him up. Jesus' words sound strange to our ears, though, don't they? Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. What does he mean? In these verses, Jesus is not talking about the Lord's Supper. He hadn't instituted that yet at this time. The Lord's Supper and baptism, however, do remind us of a fundamental question. What is it that makes the sacraments so powerful? It isn't the water or the bread or the wine. No, it's the Word of God that has attached itself to those earthly elements with his promise. God's word is just as powerful when it's not being used in a sacrament. The Bible describes Jesus as the Word that has become flesh. Jesus is inseparably married to his word. To consume his word, to eat it up, to inwardly digest his word so that Jesus' thoughts fill our thinking. His love flows through our hearts, and his presence grows the faith within our soul, is to consume Jesus' body and blood, the flesh and blood that he gave on the cross for the life of the world. Jesus was not talking about cannibalizing him, or the other extreme, metaphorically, about intellectually aspiring to comprehend him in some new philosophy. Jesus dwells beyond our three-dimensional realm, but he is our living, breathing Savior, and not just an abstract idea floating through men's imaginations. We Christians recognize how we have no life in and of ourselves. To live is to feast. To feast not only on what Jesus has done for us, but to feast on Jesus himself. Bible study is not just an exercise of the mind. It is a feast for the soul. Every word, every page, the very bread of life. Often Lutherans mistakenly assume that 1 hour a week in God's Word is sufficient. I submit to you that 160 hours away from God's Word is a starvation diet. You want a challenge to see how true this is? In September, we are going to begin a study in the book of Philippians in men's and women's Bible study. I challenge you to attend one of those studies. Read through the book, that little book of Philippians, every day during the course of that study, watching your inner life transform. Not only will the truths settle in your minds, the gospel make a home for you in a soul, but Jesus himself will fill your souls with his joy and peace and praise. Are you up for the challenge? A change? Letting Jesus inside? Do your mouths water when you smell a steak on the grill? Or an apple pie coming out of the oven? Or maybe bread cooling on the rack? Ooh. Oh, that our spiritual mouths might water and our spiritual tummies hunger for that food that is Jesus. His word, his presence in us and through us. In him, we have a blessed life. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, what awesome miracles you perform, that you call us to faith, that you wash us clean from our sins in your Son's blood, that you fill us to overflowing with your grace and life. Bless us now and always, and give us a holy hunger to be with you and digest all that you have said. In Christ our Savior, amen.